Oh, a sound of great things I have in me, the burning by God.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. It's good to see you in church. I mean, like, really talk to the person and say, it's good to see you in church. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 2 to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2 to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Many people are not able to have the time, or they are not able to be consistent with quiet time. Not necessarily because they are lazy, or they just don't want to have fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just the lack of knowledge for one of the purposes, or to the one of the purposes why man was made. Man cannot live in isolation from God. Hallelujah. You uproot a tree from the ground, what happens? Come on, what happens? If you take a tree from the ground, it dies. If you take fish from the water, what happens? Come on, what happens? It dies. Why? Because the Bible says that out of the ground, God called forth all the trees of the field. So it means that God is so great. Hallelujah. How many of you have seen a bare land before? Like a land, there's no grass, there's nothing like a bare land. How many of you have seen that before? Bare land, okay. I've heard that is very common at the north. You can see a very large land, and there's not even one single this thing on it. So you look at the land like that, and God looks at the land like that and says, every tree and every grass and every weed, come out. Ah, hallelujah. Come out of the land. Oh, hallelujah. I can preach on that. Hallelujah. So then, it came out from the ground. And so when you take it out, it came from, it dies. Then the Bible says that God commanded fishes. Hallelujah. The fishes and the sea crabs and all of that. He commanded them to come from the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they came from the water. The moment you take the fish out from the water, it will be suffocating to death. When I was young, I was just amazed how fishes are able to live, swim, and most especially breathe in. Can you breathe in water? Hallelujah. And the fishes also, I believe, were amazed. How can people be breathing just without water? How can you do that? Hallelujah. So fishes, them out from the water, they die. Whatever gets detached from its source begins to have a journey of death. And you know, when a fish is taken out of the water, it does not die immediately. Because you know, when you get to the sea, or even the water bodies that has fishes, when you stay there for a long time, sometimes you see some of the fish trying to come out. They come out, they see the water later, then they begin to do their tail like that, and they go back to the water. Why? Because they are not made not to isolate itself from its source. Are we together in this place? Yeah. And when you get into the Word of God, I mean Genesis chapter 1. Let's do chapter 1 before. I think we are going to do chapter 1 to chapter 3. Genesis 1, 26. Hallelujah. And God said, let us make man. 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. So let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the face of the sea, over the blah, blah, blah. Let's go to 27. We're not talking about authority. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2, verse. Let's start reading from 27. Hey, come on. 24. No. Chapter 2. Let's begin from 14. Can you imagine that? Oh, the whole thing. Let's do the whole thing. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. Hallelujah. And he rested 7 days from all his work, which he had made. So God is not making anything again. Verse 4. And God blessed her, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Emphasis on verse 7. These are the generations and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Say 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon, there was not a man to till the ground. Now, so you see that every plant of the field came from where? The Bible says it was in the earth. All right? So it came from the earth. Next verse. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered this of the ground. Hallelujah. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Hallelujah. God made man. See, the first component of man was God's thoughts. Hallelujah. Man is a product of God's thought. Hallelujah. God says, us make man. This thing I'm telling you is very important. So man is a product of the thoughts of God. Say, I'm a product of God's thinking. Hallelujah. So God made man first out of his thoughts. Then number two, God actually formed man. He formed man from the dust of the ground. Now, I'll not talk. The dust of the ground is not sand. The Bible never said we are made with sand. That's what people think, that we are made with sand. That's not it. First of all, Genesis was a revelation. So he's not talking about sand. So from dust you came into dust. Why don't dust and sand, are they the same? What's the difference between dust and sand? Dust is lighter than sand. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's a revelation for another time. So God made man. God formed man. So he uses three words. God created man. All right? God made man. And God formed man. These three are different. Chapter 1, verse 26. God says, let us. Come on, let us. Hey, you forgot it. Chapter 1, verse 20 says, let us what? Let us, so the first intent of God, God says, let us make man. Do we create bread or you make bread? Do you create wachi or you make wachi? You make. Why don't you say, oh, so maybe Lina comes to how to cook for me. I say, oh, Lina, create some wachi for me. Why can't we say that, create wachi for me? Made. Not why is watching made and not created? Uh-huh. Who can tell me that? So the ingredients already exist. Hallelujah. So when God says, let us make man, God is saying that I'm going to make man from something. Hallelujah. I'm going to make man from something. So man is a product from something. You can't just get up and say you are going to make wache and be going to buy condo, how do we call it, abobitari and all of that, those kind of stuff. Because those are not the ingredients. So wache comes from something. Wache is made from something. Someone said, why is man of God using food like that? Yeah, wache is made from something. In the same way, gobe is made from something. You can't say you want to go and cook gobe and go and buy cassava. You're going to say, I'm going to cook gobe. No. Okay, so the cassava for Gary. What kind of stress is that? Hallelujah. So we make from the right ingredients. We make something from, how do you call it? It's ingredients. So God says, let us make man. It means that God is going to make man from something. Hallelujah. And what did God? So let's go to verse 27. So God created man in his own image and, come on, in the image of God created he him. So here it says God created man. It means that God brought man out of nothing of the earth. That means something that never existed. Are we together? Yeah, something. So scientists have never created anything. They make because they use what my God has already made to make something. So God created man. Then chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says God formed man from the dust of the earth. Now, let's agree with your Sunday school teaching that is sand. But I'm telling you, it's not sand. So God actually designed. The word form means to design. So God designed man. Like how they teach you in movies. But that's exactly, it wasn't that. That's not bad. For the sake of what I want to preach. So the guy was down. God formed the clay, as you will call it. Yeah, God formed the sculpture. And then the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, if I'm going to stay with this literally, man is a product from the component of God. Man is also a component of what? A component of God. And number two, some ingredients from the earth. Hallelujah. So God actually made man from himself. So man is simply a version. Let me put it this way so that you don't stone me. Man is a lighter or a pseudo version of God. P-S-E-U-D-O, pseudo. Like, like an inferior, what I'm looking for. So God is the superior version of man, and man is an inferior version of God. So man cannot be isolated from God. That's why the Bible says that, when the day you eat of the fruit, you what? You will surely die. And what does it mean to eat the fruit? To disobey God and then be separated from God. So man did not die that very day. The Bible tells us that Adam lived many years after. And some people say man actually died in the same day because the Bible says that 1,000 years are one day in the eyes of God and one day is 1,000 years. And Adam was never 1,000 years. So please stop that. That's called doctrinal blunder. Adam did not die that day. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. But Adam died. He didn't die, but he died. The death of Adam was that he got separated from God. And when he finished eating, God came and said, Adam, where are you? The most craziest I've ever heard in my life. I heard, where are you? Then Adam says, I heard your voice. I was afraid. I'm eating, I was naked, so I hid myself. Where are you? I'm behind the tree. Simple answer. You understand? So then God says, all right, so we have to take you out of the. So they took, God took man out of the garden and gave angels to guard. The taking of Adam from the garden was the death of Adam. When man is separated from God, he dies. So that's why the Bible says that all those who don't know Jesus are dead. You read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says that, and you have he quickened, and you have he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So if you don't know God, you know Jesus, you are dead. Look at that. All right, let's read it. 1, 2, go. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So when you did know God, you were dead. All right? Go to verse 18 of the same chapter. No, go to 1. Let's begin. Let's continue from 2 before we have access. So wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Next verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation, means our manner of life, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, for desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hallelujah. Dead in sins, dead in trespasses. Anybody that does not know God is dead. Hallelujah. And amazingly, anybody who knows God too is dead. But two different kinds of death. Because Colossians 3:3 says that you are dead. And your life is now. Say, I'm a dead man. Say it, I'm a dead man. Yeah, some people don't want to say it. I'm not the one who said, the Bible says you are dead. Now, so the death here talks about separation from God. The very moment a man is separated from God, he begins to die. So what am I saying? Man cannot live his life in isolation from God. Hallelujah. You may be walking around. You may even have a lot of money, but you are dead. You are very, very dead. Why? Because you don't know God. And God is the life source of man. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, God is the life source. Man's life is sourced from God. So you cannot live your life in isolation from God. That means that as a Christian, okay, before I get there, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son. So when a man gets born again, he's been called to fellowship. He's been called into the fellowship of Christ. What does that mean? Coming back to life. Are we together? Coming back, say, I'm back to life. One more time, say, I'm back to life. So our calling is a calling unto fellowshipping, unto oneness with Christ. And what's that? That's life. Death is separation. And because we were separated, when we got born again, the apostle says that we were called unto the fellowship with God. Are we together? So the Christian cannot say, God, I want to be in fellowship with you. The Bible says you are in fellowship. All right? So this is legal. Now, so as a Christian, the very moment you also begin to detach yourself vitally. I believe right now you understand what I mean by legally and vitally. Because the Christian can never, ever his fellowship with God. Why? It is God who brought the fellowship. It's not you. Are we together in this place? Yeah. So the Christian is always constantly in fellowship with God. But then, look at this. So I gave you a. And I said that, oh, this car is for you. Take it, use it, have it, finish it. And then you decide to park the car somewhere and put the key somewhere. And you are always walking and you are always late to work. Do you still have the car? Come on, do you still have the car? Is the car still registered in your name? Huh? But what's happening? You are walking. So you have the car legally, but vitally, you don't have it. Something very funny happened. I picked the trotro to Accra. And my God, my heart. This one say push. This one this. I'm like, oh, so it just came out. I said, ah, I didn't cry. Then as if they have programmed all of them, then they said that, oh, petrol to me, then you want to talk. But legally, I have a car. Legally, I have a car. And my car is better, not more conducive than the Conco I was inside. Just that it is parked at the mechanic shop. So legally, I have a car. Vitally, I'm careless. So you see, that's a very perfect way to understand. So legally, God has brought us on to fellowship. The moment you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you've become part of Him. You will never be out of fellowship with God. Never, not even never. No matter what you do, God still lives in you. Come on, hallelujah. And no matter where you go, God still lives in you. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, salvation has nothing to do with you. Listen, the only thing you do to get salvation is to believe and confess. That's the only mistake you do. The moment you say that, your life has ended. You give the keys of God. It's like, you see, somebody said that if you confess and believe in Jesus, and one day you get up and say, I don't believe in Jesus again, He never came, sir, when you die, you still go to heaven. There's no, you enter, you don't come out. That's what it is. Maybe April, I'll teach you that. Listen, when you stand on a skyscraper, all right, you stand on a skyscraper like that, and then you say, I will fall down. And people are saying, don't fall. That's salvation. I want to believe in Jesus. The devil say, don't be. The very moment you say, I believe, this is what it is. It's like jumping from the skyscraper. You are coming down. As you are coming, then you realize, say, no, no, no. I don't want to die again. Will you die or you won't die? Yeah. You are now giving your life to the law of gravity. And the law of gravity. Yeah. By the time you realize, your head is like a watermelon that has splashed. Praise the name of the Lord. So that is legally. Legally, we are in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. He is in us and we are in Him. The Bible says, whosoever believes, God is in him and he in God. Woo, hallelujah. I live in God and God lives in me. Now, some of you are not in church. I said, I live in God and God lives in me. One more time. I live in God and God lives in me. So this is legally. It's something that his blood, his redemption brought to us. But then there is a vital walk. The vital walk is whereby you get into the car, you put the key into the nose of the car, and then you spark it and you're using it. So somebody can be saved, redeemed, born again, legally, but and have fellowship with God, but vitally, the person has no fellowship with God. And you see, our legal right, all right, the ultimate beneficiaries of our legal right is not us. Simply, it's the principle of God. So God's putting the principle, the government's putting the principle that you have the freedom to life. Somebody is threatening you, always comes to your house with a gun. One day I will shoot you. One day I will shoot you. One day I will shoot you. The fact that the government had said that you have the right to life does not mean that somebody will not take your life. So what are you going to do? You are going to vitally get yourself up, pick a taxi or moto or and get to the police station and say, somebody is threatening me with a gun. Are we together in this place? So there is a vital detachment from God. And that's where a lot of people don't get it. People think that, oh, the moment you are born again, the moment you get born again, everything is fine. Yesterday I was listening and he said something very important. He said that, imagine you give your money to the bank. It's your own money. And you give to the bank to save it for you. Later you needed the money. When you get to the bank, you cannot go and say, hey, give me back my money. No, you have to follow due process. Hallelujah. You can't just get up and go there and say, I have 3,000 Ghana cedis. Not even 3,000, I have like 78 Ghana cedis. You are going to take like 50 Ghana cedis out of it. And then you go and say, give me my money. Please give me my money. No, it doesn't work like that. No matter how wealthy you are, so you have to pick a paper, put whatever you're going to put on it to be able to get the money that is your own. So it's like legally, the money is yours. Vitally, the money is not yours. If you want it to be yours vitally, you get to the bank, you pick a withdrawal form, and then go through whatever is written on it. And then when you are done, you add your Ghana card to it, and they will tell you to wait. The person wants to confirm your own money, but you have to go through the process. You know, it's like those guys who say, if there is God, if God is there, why is evil going on? If God is there, why are we suffering? Why are we going through the things we are going through? If your money is in the bank, why are you not having money in your pocket? That's exactly what you are saying. One atheist asked Reinhard Bonnke, and he said that, if there is God, we're going through all these troubles. And Reinhard Bonnke said, when your hair is bushy, and you don't go to the barber, would your hair be trimmed? He said, no. The person still didn't get it. Say, if there is a barber, why is our hair bushy? Yeah. That's the question. Say, if there is a barber, why is our hair bushy? Then the guy said, why would your hair be bushy? If there is a barber, I say, good. So what are you going to do? You are going to go to the barber, right? I say, yes. So if there is a God, why are we suffering? You have to go to God to stop. He said, I get you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So vitally, you have something to do to stay connected to God. Hallelujah. God made us to be beings of fellowship. We are creatures of fellowship. Hallelujah. And our object of fellowship, number one, is God. Hallelujah. Number one is God. We fellowship with God. We fellowship with God. So the very moment, Ali, detach yourself from God. You get up in the morning, you don't pray. You don't intentionally put in times for you to study the Bible. You don't care to pray. You don't care to fast. So the moment you don't put intentional times fasting or praying. You can decide to fast once a week. Now I'm talking to the members now. You can decide to fast once a week. You can decide to fast your day of birth. Yeah. You can decide to fast a little bit. Maybe you are Kweku every Wednesday. You do like, see, how many of us that do those things? Because some of you, your parents taught you to do that. How many of you were taught by your parents? Yeah, they will tell you, crap, that be for IF no tour. You are fortunate. Me, my wedding, Saturday is serious. I mean, all the programs are on Saturday. So you can't say you'll be fasting on Saturday. So I started doing 6 to 12, after 12, sometimes even before 12. Yeah. Fasting has not been easy. It wasn't easy when I got born again. It was sick. Yeah. Yeah. So you see, you set intentional times. Intentional times of prayer. Intentional times of fasting. Intentional times of studying the Bible. You know why people go to all these prophets and all these people? Some of them very genuine, like they are going through something maybe. But some people, every little thing. Somebody dreams that he's being chased by a bicycle and he's calling a pastor. I dreamt. What was that? Oh, I was chased by a bicycle, a very big bicycle. The bicycle looked like a horse. And suddenly, the bicycle became a knife. And when we were going out, I saw a tree. By the time you realize, I was in the bush. When I realized, no, I was in my father's house. The meaning of the dream. Hey, hallelujah. See, somebody told me a dream, eh? I think it was after Rainbow Grove. The person came and told me a dream. The person, he said he had. She said she had. But, and the person needed the interpretation there, no. The interpretation of the dream was more than 5 minutes. I'm like, wow. Then I said, wow. The Lord is actually talking to you. A lot of things. The Lord is talking to you about a lot of things. I want to just go and pray. Like, you see, God is talking a lot of things because the dream is very long. And this one changed to this. And it was a cutlass. By the time he was bridge, and then he was looking for the cutlass, couldn't find the cutlass. And then, oh, please, when you don't study Bible, and all, don't, you see, sometimes the dreams you have are very scary because of the, because you don't read, you don't sanitize your mind. So intentional times of Bible, I told you, don't have your quiet times scattered. Monday, you do it in the morning. Tuesday, you do it in the afternoon. Wednesday, you don't even know where you do it at dawn. No. Have special times for your Bible study, for your quiet time. Man is a proof of fellowship. Hallelujah. All right. Let me help you with number two. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. No, before 1 John 3, let's do 135. Mark 1. Mark 1:35. How many of us have had quiet time solely in prayer? Like, your quiet time was all prayer. No word. There are quiet times like that, but don't let that be more plenty. Yeah, because some people, I know a guy, he likes praying more than studying the word of God. The guy can pray 2 hours, 3 hours, nonstop. He gets up every morning, all right, 4 o'clock, goes to pray, and comes back home at 7. 4 a.m. to 7. He talabatundalabatalabatundalabatalabatundalabatala. Or 3 hours, because the Bible says if you speak in tongues, you charge up your spirit. If you pray more than you study the word, your prayer will be wrong. No. Prayer is based on the word, so you don't even have a foundation for the prayer. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's good to pray. But it is better and best when your prayer comes from the word. How many of you, like, you were studying the Bible and then maybe a scripture or an inspiration stirred you to pray? That is correct prayer. That's the right way to pray. Hallelujah. All right. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Next verse. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Let's continue. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Everybody is looking for you. It means that Jesus was a very busy person. For you to get up to go and pray, like, just in the dawn and come back, everybody has started looking for you, like you were a seriously busy person. See, all men seek thee. All men are looking for you. No, who was Jesus? Savior of the world, right? All the, at that time, not the savior of the world, but all the people in his area, the burden of them were on his head. Some people are not sick, they want to be delivered from demons. So you'll be very busy. Imagine we are in Sechikoma and all the sick people in Sechikoma are looking up to me. Some people are looking for prophecy, others are looking for their demons to be casted out and all of that. Would you get time to pray? Jesus says that yes. We'll study and know that there are sometimes the Bible says with the people, as they are, oh yeah, by the time they realize, he sneaked out praying. So this moment of quiet time most of this was the strength, where Jesus drew his strength from. Because Jesus did not minister here as God. Because nobody would have been able to contain him. Hallelujah. He was man, anointed by God. So the Bible says in 10:8 of Acts, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So God had to anoint him to be able to do ministry. So Jesus was ministering because he was anointed. Amazing. So let's continue. And when they had found him, all men seek thee. Verse 38. Oh, you're done. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Next one. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casted out devils. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He casted out devils. Right after he went to pray. Next verse. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. A leper is like somebody with leprosy. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. The person says that, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, oh, yeah, I want you to be clean. Just be clean. The person got clean. But listen, right up there, his life of devotion, his life of quiet time. Are we together in this place? So that's where he drew his strength from. He drew his strength. And you see, sometimes you cannot even be compassionate until you're a prayerful person. People who judge people are people who don't pray. Are we together in this place? Or people, there are people, they don't care. They don't care about anybody. But the Bible says the very moment you become prayerful, you will be. The Bible, let's go to the verse after. No, we'll get there, but go to 32 or 33 thereabout. No, where were we reading? No. Go to where. This one too is good anyway. But I'm looking for something. 36 thereabout. I think we'll come here. This one too is good. Where were we reading? We're reading one chapter 1 verse what? 35. Let's start afresh. I want to say something. I'm looking at the compassion area. Verse 1. And Jesus moved with compassion. You will find this word very often when Jesus is about to heal people. Sometimes you will just see the people. And the Bible said they were like sheep without shepherd. And then Jesus moved with compassion. And here, this compassion came as a result of he going to pray in the verse 35. Prayerful people are very compassionate. People who are devoted to God are very compassionate. They feel it when somebody is struggling. They feel it when somebody is sick. They feel it when somebody is going through serious challenges. Very compassionate. So the man says that if you will, you can clean me, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. And so, I want you to be clean. And the man was clean by virtue of his prayer. Hallelujah. You cannot live, you see, the Christian life is very spiritual. You cannot live the Christian life with fleshly energies. It can't work. You will need spiritual to be a Christian. I'm talking about vitally now, because legally everybody is spiritual. You need to be actively spiritual to be able to live the Christian life. Sometimes people say the Christian life is very hard. It's very, very hard. Until you have a lot of spiritual energies reserved. And how do you get that? Through your quiet time, through your devotion, through your prayer, through your fastings, and through the study of the word, and through the coming to church. Bishop Dak said something that a lot of the transformation that happens to a Christian does not happen when we come together in church. No. It is when you hear the word, you are able to go sit down times with the word of God. Then the word will begin to change you from inside out. Hallelujah. God said that you are sick. After all, you will come to heaven if you die. God is not scared that you are broke. God is not scared that you are unemployed. God is not even scared that you are in addiction. God is not scared. Hallelujah. Why? His solution is in his word. You get the word, you build spiritual fortitude, and your strength comes alive to walk out of anything, to walk into anything, to do whatever God has ordained for you to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Say, I'm blessed with the word of God. Oh, like you mean, say, I'm blessed with the word of God. One more time. I'm blessed with the word of God. I'm blessed with the word of God. Hallelujah. So he went to pray. Now let's go to the 30. Let's begin from 30. So, oh my. Okay, 29 or 28 thereabout. This is where Jesus went to Peter's house. 28. And they were all amazed so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is, what new doctrine is this? Who with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Hallelujah. For with authority. All right, next verse, 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad, out all the region round about Galilee. Hallelujah. Next verse. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into Simeon and Andrew's with James and John. So they closed from church and they wanted to go and eat. Hallelujah. Jesus is right after church. You have to find something to eat. It's very spiritual. Some people, when they close church, they just go and sleep. No, after church, you have to eat. Say, after church, I eat. You know, there are people who think eating is not spiritual. I think when you eat plenty, like you are not spiritual. No, eating is good. You don't eat, get ulcer. Yeah. Up and down, I'll be praying for you. Eat. Tell somebody, eat.
Yeah.
Eat. Even Jesus, after going to teach, let's go back. Go back to the 27 again. I want you to be talking about. Am I preaching good here? Yeah. See, you, let's, 25. Let's give from 25 so that we understand everything right now. And Jesus rebuked him, say, hold that peace, come out of him. Next verse, that's on 26. Right there in the temple. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came. 27. And they were all amazing so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new teaching is this? So you don't say, I'm a teacher. I don't cast demons out. No, there are people say, me, I'm not a healer, I'm a teacher. There are people say, what new teaching is this? The teaching was that demons said, all right? Forget about it. I'm talking about eating. So, what new doctrine is it? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit and him. 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee. 29. And when they were come out of the synagogue is the church. After church, when they came out of church, say when they came out of church, they entered. The Bible said they entered. The Bible didn't say they went. He said they enter and went in are different. Yeah, well, you don't tell somebody enter the room. So they came like the whole squad. Look at that. The Bible says they came out of sin. They entered into the house of Simeon and with James and John. Next verse. The whole congregation. The pastor is hungry, and it's like, let's say. We don't have family here. So let's say you are brothers. You are males. You are brothers. I'm your pastor. And then Pastor Abby is part. Down with church, we are hungry. So we enter your house. It's an invasion. Yeah. So next verse. But Simon's wife, Peter's wife's mother lay sick of fever. So she was sick. Yeah, very sick. Very, very sick. And anon, they tell him of her. Next verse. No, we catch Jesus. Say, "Ebiane no, Ebiane ona oyari no." Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Ebiane no Ebiane. Yeah. It's serious. I'm telling you. It's a when you are and the person who's supposed to cook you says, "I'm sick." It's serious. Because there's nothing painful in this world than to start cooking when you are very hungry. It's serious, dangerous. And he came and took her by the hand and said, "My friend, you cannot be sick." He lifted her up and immediately left her. Sometimes we are very powerful when we are angry. Yeah. I said, "My friend, what are you?" He said, "Jesus, I'm sick." He said, my friend, get up and go and minister. And the Bible says, and she ministered unto them. She ministered unto, put a new, they think the woman started speaking in tongues. Just put something different there. They served them. The woman served them. So when the woman goes, say, "Please, I'm coming. My this thing was on fire. You know, please sit down here." Straight, the food was ready. And Jesus, look at that. So he says, and she prepared a meal for them. Yeah. She gave them food to eat. Somebody, Jesus ate. So Jesus went to pray. He had times of prayer. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke 5. 16. Let's go to 16. But Jesus often flew to the wilderness for prayer. The Bible does not say Jesus withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. He says often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Hallelujah. So you tell you, "Oh, I'm coming. I'm going to the bush." I was listening to Debafi. They were talking about Apostle Intumi. And they said that one of the things he didn't joke with was bush prayers. What's bush prayers? Bush prayer. Now I got to know, like, it was one, the culture of the people of Pentecost that often they go to the bush to pray. So they have a church here. Like, that's where their church is. But then they have a door, like one under the mango, be like that. So when they are there, like Tuesday or whatever, they say, "Oh, you're cool. They are going to meet the wild animals there. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Jesus often withdrew himself to the bush. He went to the wilderness to pray. That times. Hallelujah. Times with God alone. He often, the Bible didn't say he withdrew, he often. It means that it's something he did regularly. Next verse. So one day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religion were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem, and the healing power was strongly with Jesus. Hallelujah. Put King James there. King James makes it very spiritual. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was sent to heal them. Hallelujah. It tells you his character. It tells you how he lived his life. If you want to build Christian convictions, you can't do that without quiet times. If you want Christian, like a solid Christian, a very deep rooted Christian, you can't do that without studying the word of God. Hallelujah. Why are a lot of Christians taken up as slaves? The person goes home and he's full of powder in the name of the fact that he's going to be protected or he's going to be blessed. A Christian's blessing is not in a powder. It's not in a bottle of oil. Hallelujah. Right there in the Bible, that's where it is. Hallelujah. People have been scammed by so-called prophets. Yesterday, I was my cousin and we were talking, and he's had some rough relationship with the guy he is with. So one day I had to go and discipline the guy. Guy is a gaslighter. He's a narcissist. So she was there, and the guy called that she's spoken to this prophetess who is in Kaswa, and the prophetess says that I'm a very big demon, and I'm just behaving like a pastor. I'm a very big demon, and I sleep with all my sisters in the spirit. So they had to undergo 7 days fasting. So I told my sister that the problem is not what they did, it's the fasting you did. So you were fasting for what? So they say after they fast, they will see what is going to happen to me. So I said, well, I want to see the prophetess. And guess what? So I told my sister, I want you to call the prophetess tomorrow, that's today, and tell the prophetess that 2 weeks ago, I gave the time in the evening, he got a call from Germany, from the guy. And this and this and this and this and this is what the guy said. After you tell the prophetess, this will tell you that he needs my number. This now I'm saying was quite intense. I can walk from here to where the prophetess is. I get there, the woman will start confessing. I said, has she collected money from me? So, yes. She said, oh, I'm 500 mil kwai, I'm 200 mil kwai, I'm 300 mil kwai. And recently he took like 1,000 from the guy that is going for a funeral. Yeah. And once in a while you take money that and all of that. So listen, if you don't know word, I don't think anybody can do that to anybody in this. Why? Because she does not study the word of God. There's a wisdom that comes by the word. There is a maturity that comes by the word. So a lot of prophets and prophets have scammed people. I remember when we were young, a prophet came to our village. This man came and says that he's second Elijah. The first day of the crusade, there was he brought a bowl of water. I don't know what this man did. The man put paper on top of the water. And less than 10 minutes, the thing was burning. Fire, live fire. Somewhere within me, I was not born again, but I knew this man, this is a trick. Come and see the villagers. The man brought a very big bag of oil. Oil on the Sayama, auto frito. Live, and I know, boo boo. I was in Meshiraso. Then I fried on the side, and I feel the insuona, you know. And off all the bottle bar, and now the cap bar. No, I said, Biaman, no, I told money the man made. I was just, this, I had grown, I don't know where he is now. Then I saw this is just science. Think about it. All the people who took the oil and the bottle and all of that, and he never came there again. There's a wisdom that comes by. I mean, if it's like today, like the man will be arrested flat, or the Juana police have a man also. Because for you to even do that sign ever there, not as a scientist, you are a thief only. So people, they've scammed people. When you listen to people and that's with prophets on scam, somebody went to sell the car, the powerful car, and gave the money to the man of God. Another person also, the pastor says that your house, there are demons, I've seen there are demons in, around your family and blah, 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 blah. So I would have to be there and make sure that I'm doing that. The prophet needed accommodation. Changed the ownership of the house to his name. And the bill in court, reclaiming the house. The man says that she sold the house to me. Say, I will never be foolish. Like you say, I will never be foolish. Into the word of God, and it saves you from all this stress. Hallelujah. From stresses you'll be taking away from just because you know the word of God. Hallelujah. I want the character to be built in you from today. Don't make excuses. Hallelujah. derive a lot of power, get a lot, source a lot of power from your quiet times. Hallelujah. It's not compulsory. Your quiet time has to be. If you are not a dawn person, find a time you are okay and start from there. Hallelujah. I taught you that in January. Find a time you are supposed to be in the evening. You open Bible and you are sleeping. Yeah, they say we should do our quiet time in the evening. No. Find the time you are most alive. And I told you, quiet time is not like the 15 minutes people have been saying. You cannot be meeting God 15 minutes out of 24 hours. At least and at most 30 minutes to 1 hour. Hallelujah. If you don't have time, if you've not been having your quiet time, this month, minister to you. I say, may the Lord minister to you. If you've been having it too, and it's not consistent, may the Lord be ministering to you. Hallelujah. Be outstanding with me.
I have in me the burden.